It is Friday. Welcome to the Triple Option with RBKD. No BK today. That's why the intro sounds a little bit different. I am Kevin Dunn. Got to give a huge shout out to John Reichel, as I do BK's bit every day and try and slow down my arm motion. But guess what? He is ready. Don't have to slow it down. John Reichel producing. I'm Kevin Dunn. And of course, we have our All-American, Rod Babers. Rod, you came in. No mask after the CDC stuff. I got to give you a lot of credit. And
came
keep
in, man. It's what they recommended.
You have
told America to mask
stuck
off.
Stuck by it the whole time.
Like Future. Mask off, baby. Mask off.
Would have appreciated pants today, though. I think you're taking this taking this a little bit too far here.
Yeah, I'm sure still for some of the businesses in town, actually a lot of them, they'll still require masks for employees and masks. I think I haven't been to the grocery store since, but I'm sure HEB still probably has their mask policy.
And
but don't judge people who wear masks and who don't wear masks. That's been my policy from the jump. I'm not going to judge you. Some people got their own hardcore beliefs. We ain't going to get into it over that. Just happy.
It's a happy Friday.
I'm happy that a lot of people now feel safe enough where they can go out there and, they can start kind of getting back to some normalcy. I'm going actually to Moon Tower this weekend.
Yeah.
Me and E. Hogan having a little Austin FC watch party. Going to be enjoying some Bud Light out there. I haven't been to a bar since pre-COVID. Went to Pluckers. We had that Pluckers draft party, which was nice.
Yeah.
That was one of the first times I got back out there and
it's
hung out with my peeps. Yeah, sports bar. So, you know, that's, you go there too. Yeah, but in terms of just a straight up bar, and it's an outside bar. Moon Tower's a little different too.
Yeah.
It's an outside bar as opposed to just like an old school dive bar or something. When I go back to a dive bar, that's how I know
that's
I feel truly
know.
Safe.
Whenever you take a deuce at a dive bar,
well,
that's
never
when we
in my
really
life.
Know.
Never?
Never.
Never. Come on. You're way too comfortable doing that. You do it here all the time. I've never.
Well, this isn't a dive bar. This is an office building.
Well,
it smells like a dive bar in
some
there.
Some floors. Depending on what floor you're on.
Fourth floor. Doesn't smell great. All right. We got a full 4 hours for you today. We're going to get into a lot of stuff. Mention John. Appreciate John being in. The reason he's
shout
in.
Shout out to John. What's up,
yes,
John?
Yes. We got Country Music Friday.
Oh, no.
We're giving away
John
rain.
Doesn't like Country Music Friday. He's,
I know.
He tried to hint at that several times. He does not enjoy this. Let John do what he wants to do. John should be able to do. I am voting for John to be able to do whatever he wants to do. It is a Country Music Friday.
John, you cool with that? You can
John
make
should
sense
be able to
country.
Do what he wants.
I will do whatever y'all would like, obviously. I could do Country Music Friday, or we could have Freaky Music Friday.
See, you want him to be in a good mood, and for him to be in a good mood, he needs to be doing what he wants to do, and he's running the show.
Man,
I say let him do what he wants to
you
do.
You would be a player's coach. You'd
I'm
be
just saying,
a,
well,
you, good guy to work
we'll get
for.
Back to Country Music Friday. We'll have plenty of those, but this is
like
John's, I'm saying, time to creatively express himself.
So BK has been gone. When he's been gone, it seems like it's Friday, and you and I very quickly go,
you
all
did
right,
it last
well,
time.
Oh,
last
totally
time it was your
fault. Which
last
is why
time,
I don't want it to be on
you
me this
brought
time.
Up, yeah, you were like, let's ditch Country Music
yeah,
Friday. I was like,
it.
All right. Well, I'm just saying, this
right.
time we'll ditch it, but only because I want John to have fun. It's Friday.
Executive decision here by Rod and I.
That sounds good. I'll be your scapegoat.
You
let's do it. Let's buckle up.
All there right. you go. See?
You
he's
said
already
freaky
excited.
Friday?
We can do Freaky Music Friday.
Freaky music. I don't even know what that means.
How about just Good Music Friday?
It can be both.
Like Good Friday.
Good Friday. There we
good
go.
Good Friday.
Good Music, good music Friday.
Well, right. Then you can't play freaky stuff if you're talking about Good Friday.
Oh, depends.
Unless you're Prince.
You're right. So John is in. BK is gone. BK is in Dallas. He's going to be wearing a tuxedo that he's super glued.
Yeah, he's official.
And he's not even in the wedding. Have you ever had to wear a tuxedo
never
when you're
before.
Not in the wedding?
No, I've never heard of that before. Usually tuxedo means you're in the wedding. No, they're the people who are just observing the ceremony, they are also wearing tuxes. That's... I say, are they the Gatsby's?
That's crazy.
Who's got a wedding in this? Come on, man. That's crazy.
I'd have a little pushback. I'd say, look, I'm not... Trust me, I'm not complaining I'm not in the wedding because I know that's just extra stuff.
Oh, and
I'd rather just, I'd rather just go. I've had friends have been like, hey, man, had too many there. And so we're going to, love for you to come.
No
come to some
worries.
Of the parties. Hey, no
all
problem.
Good,
all
man.
Good, bro.
All good.
All good. I'd have some pushback, though.
Yeah.
I was told to wear a tuxedo.
They're expensive.
But I'm not in the wedding.
To rent them, I mean, they're not cheap.
That, and they're a pain in the ass to put on.
They
and you look better in a suit.
Most people look better in suits,
right?
You know what I mean? Yeah, this is true. Yeah.
Or black tie, which BK could have done, but of course BK went tuxedo.
And these days, the only time you have to wear those is at really fancy functions. Like I do MC a couple of events and I have to rent a tux, but that and yeah, in a wedding. That's it.
Yeah.
That or in a wedding.
What events are you emceeing you wearing a tux? Because I know you do a lot of stuff. I'm curious.
I do some stuff, like some emceeing stuff with Rika and some other folks.
Okay.
It's really fancy and nice, though. I'm not.
Got to wear the tux?
I like wearing it. Everybody's fancy and dressed up. It looks like, you know, something out of the Great Gatsby. A lot of it keeps coming to mind now.
Do you take advantage?
Fancy is the Gatsby's.
It is the Gatsby's. Do you take advantage of being a brother? Because as a white dude, hold on.
How often can I do that?
There could be a lot of things.
How often can
there,
I do that?
But really not. So when you're driving, do you take advantage of being a brother? Us white dudes can't do it, shouldn't do it.
Oh, like exotic colors?
Ever go with a white tuxedo?
Yeah, when I, in high school, I had the white sport coat, like the coat,
nice.
Tuxedo coat.
Nice.
It was just, you know, that's kind of classic with the black pants. But no, I haven't done it. You can do it. I mean, I'm sure you can do it.
You can do it. I can't do it.
I don't know if I could pull that off either.
You
white
pull
tux.
It off a lot more than I would.
Man. Yeah, I'm sure I probably could pull it off. But man, I had to be, my swag would have to be on 100,000, million. You know what I mean? Swagged out. So maybe one of these days I could do that.
So I am hoping that BK hooks up and you
he
got
said
some
he's gonna
stories
send us a
for
pic.
Next week. He said that.
That's what he said. We should text him and be like, hey, man, you said you sent us a pic. It's like that's how women talk to each other. You said you sent me a pic of you in your dress.
I can't believe you didn't. We're not friends anymore. You're not going to be in my wedding.
It'll be on Instagram. Okay. He'll put it on Instagram. I don't think he has Instagram, actually.
He'll probably put it on Twitter.
BK doesn't have Instagram, I don't think. Does he? We should know this about your good friends.
Yeah, he does.
He does.
He just creeps with it.
Oh, it's only for sliding into DMs.
It's for checking chicks out.
It's a slip and slide.
Yeah. I just hope he's careful this weekend. We don't need any BKs, little BKs created this weekend.
Oh, dude, yeah. I mean, we're about to hit basically what is the Roaring Twenties.
We're going
to
get into that.
This is going to be the Roaring Twenties because there's about, when the concerts open back up again, there are going to be so many bands and acts that are touring that normally wouldn't tour and tour together because they've just been starved.
Yeah.
All right? They haven't had a chance to make that revenue. And you're going to have, when sports comes back up, I think you're going to have a ton of fans who usually don't go to sporting events who just want to get out.
Right.
And they're going to get out to these festivals and these sporting events. And the people who are single, they're about to mingle. Probably unlike anything we've seen in a long, long time. It's about to be a whole lot of getting it on.
We're going to get into that at 5:45. Yeah. We have a couple off the records for you.
Look at John's eyes.
John's
eyes. And yes, he's agreement. Head shaking. Yes.
Thumbs up. You have a girlfriend though, right, John?
Of course I do. Yes.
Of course I do.
Of course he does. He's a good looking man.
He is, but he's not. You know, I about to say George Clooney. George Clooney, I would assume, doesn't have a girlfriend most of the time.
He's
had one for a little while.
Yeah, I think. Are they married now? Or just disengaged?
Know, it seems like a revolving door.
Not for like 4 or 5 years. George Clooney's
really?
Been tied down. Everybody was shocked and surprised when he decided to do it, and he hasn't strayed. He hasn't pulled a Ben Affleck or any of those D-bag
Leonardo
moves.
DiCaprio.
Oh, Leo. Leo literally has an age limit.
I know, that's ridiculous.
You can't be too old.
You age
old.
Out of the position.
I think you age out of like 25. I'm not joking. I think he has like
I think it's actually younger than that.
I think you're right.
What
I think
a legend.
It,
like 22 or 23.
I think it's like 23. It's kind of just, as you get older, it sounds kind of gross. But
yeah, no, it's gross.
Yeah, it's not kind of gross. It is gross. Well, I'm 40, so it's gross.
It's not the gross thing.
It's not gross, but you shouldn't have an age limit. Dude,
like, if we see a 23-year-old chick and
exactly.
she's hot, we're going to think she's hot.
Thank you. That's why it's gross.
Yeah, I know.
That's why it's gross.
Here's the thing.
24 and she's smoking hot, you should still, as Leonardo DiCaprio, jump on that.
Yes.
All right, what are you doing
okay,
discriminating against
yeah.
that? It's not gross
there's
because...
there's an age limit there.
Yeah, I don't
right,
think it's gross
you.
Because he shouldn't be fraternizing
wow.
and philandering with women of that age. No, he's two adults. I'm talking about, dude, she's 25 and hot or 28 and hot. Come on, man.
Yeah.
What are you doing?
Here's my thing. I just...
What are you limiting yourself for?
Having a real relationship and full conversations and interests that you share together and just what you want to talk about and conversate about, like, that just doesn't usually add up if you're a guy in your 40s dating a 22-year-old.
Ain't a lot of talking going on, brother.
I understand that.
Ain't a lot of talking.
I get that. And mm-hmm. that's also why I don't think it's gross. I just think it'd be weird to have a real relationship. If you're just banging it out, whatever.
Yeah. Like I said, it's gross to me because, like I said, they're smoking hot 26 and 27 year olds. What are you doing?
Right.
Going to, what are you doing?
Probably easier to hang out with.
That's a measure of gross imbecility, sir. You need to just consider all of them. I 30 years old should be your cutoff. There you go. That's a little bit more respectable.
My prereq is.
Seeing some lines and things and some crow's feet and all that kind of stuff.
Right. Some boobs sagging.
Boobs sagging, stretchy marks.
Some wrinkles on the hands.
30 years old. I get it. That's when you start to decline.
Start a chicken neck.
You're talking about mid-20s and you're just declining these women because they're in the mid-20s? That's disgusting.
No, my prereq is you need to be divorced and in your 30s. Like, I need you to already be over yourself and over an ideal relationship.
Dude,
if you're going
to
be with me.
I was single and I used to love single moms.
Oh, yeah. So yeah. I was in my early 20s.
Dude, exactly.
I wouldn't even, when it wasn't gross, I wouldn't even chasing chicks that age.
Yeah, so I don't understand what he's talking about, man. I'm with you. I'd like to someone who's a little older and wiser than me sometimes.
I wouldn't deny him because I'm a man of the people. So
what are you doing denying women?
I'm not going to deny
him. Let's cancel Leo for that. What are you doing denying 25-year-old women? Canceled, man. Get out of here.
All right. It is a fun Friday here. We're gonna get into a lot of stuff like that. And, of course, we're also going to talk sports. We'll get into some Texas baseball, some Austin FC, and some AFC and NFC.
That's true.
And I guess we'll do that.
Technically, you're
right. We'll do that right now. The NFL schedule, of course, was released this week. Got into some of the Cowboys-Texans stuff, and we kind of rode on our own with both teams. It was easier with the Texans to count the wins or possible wins, but we kind of projected what their record would be. So NFC, AFC, I've seen a couple articles here predicting division winners and everything. Let's go and start with the NFC. We can start with the NFC East if you want.
No, we can start with the NFC. We can just go, I'll just kind of go through the top teams. But the NFC East, we'll start with the best team, I guess, in the NFC East based on these win projections. And this is how these win projections are done. These come from NFL.com, and they do them with a simulator. So they have, I believe it's 50,000 simulations that they use. For, these different, some algorithm I'm sure they put in there. But 50,000 simulation, that's how they come up with these win projection totals.
Yeah.
So
They actually play it on Madden. They get two nerds and they just get after
it. That would be awesome if they did.
We did that when Chad and I did the show at the other station years ago. We did that for college football.
Oh, that'd be so cool.
We set up a would-be tournament, and I just simulated them on PlayStation 2.
Dude, I'm not joking. That would be really cool.
Right.
I would love that.
I wasn't denying any women back then. If you're simulating stuff.
If you're simulating stuff.
Great.
Well done. All right, based on these win totals, and we'll get to the entire NFC here, but based on these win totals, the NFC East specifically, they have the Washington football team with 9.2 wins. That'll give them the most wins in the NFC East. They have the Cowboys right behind them with 9 wins.
Pretty damn close.
That's pretty close. So they got basically Washington and Dallas right there neck and neck. Then they have the Giants with 7.1 wins, and then they have the Philadelphia Eagles with 5.7 wins. So they got them at the bottom of the division. So they got the Cowboys, 9-8.
Yeah, and I can see that. I think you and BK had said 11, right?
I think I said 11, and you know what? Basically,
I said
okay,
10.
And you did. You said 10, so you're closer to what their projection is. I'll say they're probably looking at the same thing I'm looking at, that coaching, potentially the coaching or lack thereof, could lose them 2 games that they're probably not supposed to lose, maybe even 3.
Kind of like Texas football this last year?
Yeah. Yeah, pretty much. Just getting out-coached.
Okay.
Right, against and that new look defense, and then part of that is the coaching, because they just had to overhaul that defensive coaching staff because Mike Nolan wasn't getting the job done. They had their worst defense statistically in the history of the Cowboys organization. So that new look defense, we know the linebacking core is getting an overhaul as well. The secondary has questions. We still don't know if they got an upgrade at safety. I don't know if they did.
I don't think they have.
I don't think they have. They still have 2 sixth-round picks starting at safety. They did get upgraded at cornerback.
Yeah.
So they'll have 2 really good young corners. But there are a lot of questions on that defense. So the defense combined with the coaching questions or coaching ineptitude at times with the Cowboys, yeah, I can see them going from anywhere in the range from 9 wins to 10.5 to 11 wins.
Yeah. No, I see that range too. Yeah, 9. High end would be 12. But 9 to 11 is probably the realistic spot. And we've talked about some of those switch games or those games that are 50-50. How sold are you on the Washington football team? I know they're bringing in Fitzmagic. Look, they've really copied the 49ers blueprint and gone heavy with defensive line and then tried to build off that. I think they've done a pretty good job, as big of an S show as Daniel Snyder's been running there, from the stadium to the name to the personnel, the coaching, the team, everything, right?
Yeah, now he's trying to get majority control of it all. Like, he wants it all.
Yeah.
I think he's bought out a lot of the minority investors.
He's proven he deserves it, Rod. He can do really good things with the historic franchise.
He wants even more of it, too. I don't know if that's because he wants to sell or what. I don't know. We don't know.
I don't know what he wants to do with that, but I do know that it's a good football team. I don't have a lot of confidence in them, though. Like, I mean, I would put it, and I guess 9 to 9.2, which is what the NFL is projecting with the Cowboys and the Redskins, respectively, would say that's pretty much a coin toss. I would put it almost at 50-50. I'm just not sold on Washington. And I'm not sold on Dallas, but those are your two teams.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm with you. I think the schedule seems to favor Dallas. I got to go look at Washington's schedule and see if it is as favorable. But I know it's not more favorable than Dallas. You look at all the metrics about strength of schedule, whether you're basing on last year's winning percentage and last year's win total, or the Vegas win projections, which is what a lot of people seem to be basing them on. Or if you're basing it on just overall roster talent, the Cowboys have an easier schedule based on all of those metrics. You know, so I think for Dallas, 9 out of their opponents had a losing record last season. So 9 of the Cowboys' opponents had a losing record. Of course, the entire NFC East was bad. And if you look at the quarterbacks they have to play, not saying they don't play some talented quarterbacks, Patrick Mahomes and Tom Brady, so they play the elite, the GOAT, and then they play the kid, the baby GOAT. But then after that, you know, you got Matt Ryan, who was an MVP, but he's in the twilight of his career. Kirk Cousins, Justin Herbert, young rookie, flashed, but still young, right?
Yeah.
Cam Newton, I think we all agree, past the twilight of his career.
Let's not be shocked. I was early on with Herbert at Oregon, and I said I'm not sure he's ready to be a starter yet. So I was right early on about him, but then this last year, a lot of us, so my point is, even us that really liked him were fans, didn't think that he was ready for it. There could be a little sophomore dip.
Could be, but he obviously came out of the blocks.
Oh,
one of the greatest rookie seasons we've ever seen for a quarterback. I mean, it was phenomenal. And I love the story that, you know, Tyrod Taylor was supposed to start that year. They're trying to give him some type of injection, and they end up puncturing a lung in the process, and then Justin Herbert's got to play.
Yeah.
So nobody, he didn't even think he had to play at the time. So he didn't even get all the reps in practice.
Yeah.
All those reps with the Tyrod Taylor, and yet he came out and was just unbelievable. So he's got a lot of talent. But, you know, still, he could have a sophomore slump. Kyler Murray is a really young, talented quarterback, too, but he's had inconsistent play. But after that, it's Jameis Winston and Derek Carr and Ryan Fitzpatrick and Daniel Jones. In terms of the opposing quarterbacks, that young and rebuilt defense will be playing against, I think it helps you that you only play like three or four elite quarterbacks, maybe.
I think that helps out a lot.
Yeah.
And especially with the Saints, you look at them. I mean, you look at some of these teams that usually in your head you just go, oh, that's going to be tough. And because they've got a veteran quarterback who's a Hall of Fame type quarterback. And that's one of the cool things about the schedule this year. We just don't know a lot about a lot of these teams.
Yeah. Cowboys are one of three teams with three straight road games. Weeks 13 through 15, that's going to determine a lot in that stretch. And they're one of seven teams. They do flip that, though. They get three straight home games to start out early in the season with weeks 3 through 5. So they do get that back. But the end of that schedule with four out of the final six games being on the road, that's going to determine a lot for the Cowboys. And that stretch where they have to play four out of their five games on the road, starting at Kansas City. Then they're at New Orleans in that stretch.
Mm-hmm.
They're at Washington in that stretch, at the Giants in that stretch. That's big. So really that second half of that schedule is going to determine everything. They got to build up some, they got to build up some wins and build up some cushion, that first part of that schedule. Because the second part, once they get to Kansas City, that is when it really kicks in for the Cowboys.
No doubt about it.
It's really tough.
And they need, if they could be 4-1 heading into that New England game, that's going to set them up really well. I think it'd be 4-1 going to New England. Cowboys.
The Cowboys. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, that'd be big too, man.
So NFC East was my biggest question. I think that's up in the air. I think we know. The NFC North is weird with Green Bay. NFC South, everyone's going to pick Tampa, and understandably so. What about the NFC West, which is loaded?
They have the win totals I'm looking at right now, the one we just started talking about. They have the San Francisco 49ers. Yeah, third most wins in the NFC with 10.3, but they have the most wins in the NFC West. They have the Cardinals with 9.2 wins. In the NFC West, and they have them with the second most wins in the NFC West. And then they have the LA Rams with 8.8 wins, Seattle Seahawks with 8.6 wins. So they're all really, really close. I mean, they got the Cardinals with 9.2 wins, and then the Rams with 8.8, and the Seattle Seahawks with 8.6. So less than a win, almost a half a win separating those teams. So they know how close it's really going to be between all those teams.
That's interesting, because I was reading something else today on CBS, and they had the Rams being their NFC West champion. And
that, I can see that.
Yeah, I can too. I could see two or three teams probably split between the Niners and Rams, but the Cardinals could be a team, and who knows what Seattle's going to look like.
Question for the Rams is, there's been a lot more coaching turnover with the Rams than any other team in the NFL. That's a big compliment to Sean McVay. They've had three of his assistants going to be head coaches. Eight other assistants are actual front office executives that have gone on to work for other teams, too. Man, that's a lot of siphoning of brain trust talent for them, and a lot of people wonder if they can recover. Brandon Staley, most notably, they lost their defensive coordinator, who was the, you know, he was the architect of that really, really good defense they had last year. Now he's with the LA Chargers, speaking of Justin Herbert. So that's going to be a challenge too. Speaking of, just to finish up the NFC, and we'll get back obviously to the AFC and the Texans later on. But the Tampa Bay Bucks, they have with the best win, or this is the best win percentage and the best win total here based on the projections, 12.2 wins. And then right behind them, they have the Packers, not right behind them actually, 10.4 wins for the Packers. And then San Fran at 10.3 wins. So they have the Tampa Bay Bucks, who are favored, by the way, in every game. Tampa Bay Bucks going to be favored in every game.
Yeah, I would think so.
Yeah.
What game are they not going to be favored in?
No, I mean, they're favored. I looked it up earlier. They're favored in every game, and it's set up nicely, man. Six of their games are versus the NFC South, of course, but then they face the NFC East. They face the AFC East, of course. You know, I mean, their strength of schedule was pretty favorable, even for a team as talented as them, who brings back all 22 starters.
Yeah. They bring back all 22. Green Bay is just the one. Who knows? So they're obviously projecting Aaron Rodgers to be there.
That's a very good point. Yeah, we don't know what's going to happen. If Aaron Rodgers is not there, then all that blows up. We don't know what the hell's going to go.
Three or four?
Yeah, seriously. So that could determine a lot. And, you know, how good is Tampa Bay? You saw this story, too. We just saw that Tom Brady admitted he didn't even know the playbook.
I know.
Last year.
I know. Is that rubbing it in a little bit?
That is him rubbing it in. That's him rubbing it in.
But also explaining, remember, people forget, Tom Brady looked, I don't want to say over the hill, just looked lost.
Six games in.
Remember,
he forgot about fourth down.
Yeah.
He forgot how many downs there were at one time. He was so confused. So, he started to look like, oh, man, he looks like an old man out there. Like, he doesn't know what's going on. So, I can believe he said, basically, it was like him learning another language. So, he's going to have an entire offseason with that playbook. I wonder how, and with bringing back everybody on that offense, how much better Tampa Bay could be. That's a scary thought.
That is a scary thought. Yeah, so yeah. I figured Tampa Bay would be tops on there. We'll get back to the AFC
later.
A little bit. This is a Triple Option with RBKD. It's hornfm.com. Get the Horn app. We got John Reichel in, and we're just going to play good music Friday. So we expect good music, John. We'll see what he has.
No pressure.
Loaded up coming back. Speaking of coming back, we're going to talk a little Texas baseball. The regional sites were released. Is Austin one of them?
Welcome back to the Triple Option with RBKD. I'm Rod Babers, hanging out with my man Kevin Dunn. John is back there twisting and tweaking the dials for us because BK is actually on a little vacation. He'll be back next week, though. He's got a wedding to go to. Usually it will be a Country Music Friday, but we have, as a show, have voted that, you know, since John twisting and tweaking the dials, John can do pretty much what he wants back there. John? What's this you got us listening to right now? What is it?
Right now we got Lettuce, and it's a nice song called Remember the Children. They do a lot of funk music, but this is a collaboration with the electronic artist Flamingosis.
Man.
So just a little bit of funky under beats for you on this Friday.
Flamingosis?
Flamingosis.
Flamingosis. I gotta tell you, I like that John is a fan of funk, the funk genre, which I gotta it's pretty much been a dying genre for the last 20 years or so. But it's coming back. Well, it's just been hybridized, right? It's just been it's been hijacked, but now you'll see it in different forms because there is, with R&B, sometimes there's a little funk. With hip-hop, there's a little funk in there. In certain bands and certain artists, they just have it in their DNA. Like Bruno Mars has all, his funk is in everything for Bruno.
Right,
yeah,
exactly.
And some guys, some artists. Or, and women, too, by the way. Throwing it out there. All right.
Anyway. Oh, they're artist, Rod.
I just wanted to make sure that I wasn't sounding like some, misogynistic a-hole when I was just talking about guys. No, the ladies, of course, are included when I'm talking about the masterful artists and musicians out there.
That's the brother in the on the morning show.
Who that?
Misogynistic.
Bucky's sexist comment of the day.
Yes.
But I got a feeling that his new wife has been whipping him into shape too.
I think so.
Yeah, slowly but surely that's been happening. Oh, speaking of wives,
whipping people into shape. Let's hear this.
And no, because Bucky's wife is smoking hot. Like she's a gorgeous woman. And speaking of like hot moms, and I guess even hot grandmothers out there, because I think Bucky's wife is old enough to be a grandmother, so.
Not saying a word here.
I'm not getting my, but it made me think of, have you heard the Zach Wilson stories about his mother?
I mean, I've seen some pictures.
Dude, Deadspin is claiming that Zach Wilson, who's the quarterback drafted number 2 overall to the New York Jets, J-E-T-S, Jets, that he's unfollowed her on Instagram.
Oh, because she's
so wild and she's attracting the wrong kind of attention that they claim that her own son unfollowed her on Instagram. And for young people, unfollowing someone on Instagram, that's a big deal. All right, it's a big deal. I don't know if that's what, like I said, that's what Deadspin is claiming. She recently.
She went private, huh?
I think because of all this, she's gotten a lot of attention. She recently she received a lot of criticism because she put up a post criticizing Disney, because I guess she went to Disney World or Land or one of them. And she was upset about all the quote mask holes who were always up in her business.
Oh,
I guess she didn't want to wear a mask.
And
they were asking her about being masked. And she also called girls who use Snapchat whores. So
she's attractive.
She's a hot mom. That's why I said it, people have been talking about how attractive she is. Remember, it was an interview he did up in New York, I think on WFAN, and they asked him about his hot mom on social media. And she's gained probably 15, 20,000 followers since he got drafted. And it's upsetting for the young man because not only are they teasing him about his mom being hot, but she's on social media. And she's got a right to do whatever the hell she wants on social media. She's a grown woman, all right? She might end up making money on social media as her next livelihood, but she's attracting some negative attention and putting some pressure on her son that probably doesn't need to be there. He's got enough pressure being the prince that was promised, if you will, for the Jets.
And to be a Jets quarterback, right?
In New York City.
Yeah. That's a big deal. Well,
I think they're Mormons, too.
They are. I'll say this, that she probably doesn't need to make any money. Her brother founded JetBlue.
Yeah, heard you say that before.
And
so they got
her son now. Yeah, no, she's going to be okay. I tell you what, though, it's good news because maybe he is the next Aaron Rodgers if he's already unfollowing family members.
Boom!
I told you.
He way had a
quick,
to go!
Quick release, and now we got this.
I like it. Well done. That was pretty good. Yeah. So the hot to crazy ratio. The hotter she is, the crazier she is. That's just the reality of it. So So good luck to Zach Wilson. Sorry to bring it up. Anyway,
I didn't realize he had unfollowed her.
It's been some random drama for Jets fans out there. All right, let's get to what has not been drama, but it's actually good news for Longhorn baseball fans. They, or at least UFCU, will be one of the regional sites site, the regional host sites, that has been announced.
Yeah, and it's not surprising. I mean, Texas, I think right now, and we talked about it after the two wins in Fort Worth, why they were so big is that it feels like Texas locked up one of the top eight. So that means if you win your regional, you'd also host the super regional. But, you know, just like everything we've talked about, the pandemic has been, it's thrown a lot of things off course, at least how they usually are. So here's the thing. So you've got 16, you're going to have 16 host sites for regionals, right? You got four in there that gets you to 64. But today the NCAA released 20 potential host sites. So there's four of these that aren't going to be hosting.
So wait, what was the point of that?
I think they're giving themselves because, and I actually like this. They're giving themselves a couple weeks here with the end of the regular season and also the conference tournament for some of these 16, 17, 18, 19.
Some shifting
19.
To happen.
Yeah, some shifting as they should. If they just put 16 out right now, you're telling me who 16 is. But when I saw this, look, Texas was going to be on there. Texas, they could lose every game the rest of the way.
And they're still good?
They're hosting.
They're in the eight?
They're hosting. They're in the 16 at that point.
How could they mess up themselves to be a top eight seed and host a super regional?
If they lose to Rice and get swept by West Virginia, I mean, they could.
Okay. So,
I don't expect this team to do that. We've talked about how resilient they are. And even then, they maybe would still be top eight. But they're definitely going to be on this list. Four of these teams won't be. Mm. But you've got TCU, Texas, and Texas Tech. And we've talked about them, Rod. Those are kind of that's the class of the Big 12.
Yeah. It's interesting. So basically, there's no way Texas could lose the series versus West Virginia. They'd still be a top eight seed. Their resume is that impressive overall.
If they lose two out of three, probably, yeah.
Okay. That's good. That's good news.
Yeah. No, really, I mean, look, they've done a really good job of setting themselves up to be in this position. And it's so huge in college baseball. Now the question is, and Texas fans have had this question for CDC on Twitter, when are you going to open it up? And I think it was even more frustrating for Texas fans when they saw TCU. That was a pretty raucous environment.
That was supposed to be people keep saying that was 50 to 60% or something. That's what the officially
it
says.
Did it look like it and sound like it to you?
No, it didn't, but I'm just saying that people keep saying, oh, no, that was only half capacity or whatever. And I think the NCAA is saying, what, up to 50% capacity?
Up to 50%,
for these regionals?
But I saw Kyle Peterson, who's just pretty, like you, pretty balanced on this stuff. Like, he's not coming from a political point of view. He's just trying to be pragmatic about stuff. And he tweeted today, said, all right, with the CDC's news, come on, college baseball, let's open this up.
Yeah, I mean, there are going to be a lot of, you're hearing
it's
news
outdoors,
about,
right?
You're hearing news about concerts and festivals and stuff like that starting to, make their schedules or build their schedules and timelines right now, because if the CDC says you can be vaccinated and you don't need a mask. I mean, that's pretty. If you, man, I know everybody's not vaccinated. Get it. I understand. Some people are out there.
I mean, a lot of people will be lying about that.
There will be a lot of people lying about it. I get it. I know there are a lot of problems, but at least the CDC is backing up with scientific evidence that it's safe enough.
Yeah, some people are mad. They're like, oh, that's been out for 2 or 3 months. I get that. I'm not getting on you, but it's out now. So let's be happy and move forward with it. You even said before the show, you're like, yeah, look, CDC's been inconsistent on this, but okay. I mean,
exactly. I'd rather trust the CDC than the guy on Facebook that acts like he knows everything.
Now, what if Zach Wilson's mom on Instagram gave you some advice? Sounds like she was giving some health advice.
Yeah, she's definitely happy about the CDC rules. See, there you go.
Yeah, she didn't get naked on there, does she?
No OnlyFans for her, not yet.
All right. Yeah. When you said like he was like embarrassed, I thought, whoa.
He's just embarrassed
because
she gets crazy and she just like she'll post like they'll be in the they're on the car they're on the car ride to the draft, and she posted a video randomly with them in the car. It was just weird. Like, they were all on their phones, and like, she was like, why aren't you guys more excited? We're going to the draft. It was just very strange. She's just a very
and take your mask
strange.
Off.
And take your mask off.
How dare you?
She's a strange lady, but you know what? Strange plays in the social media universe. So
yeah.
They usually get you more followers,
get you a lot of clicks. So
right.
I will run through this quickly. Arizona, Arkansas, Charlotte, East Carolina, Florida, Gonzaga, Louisiana Tech, Mississippi State, Notre Dame, Ole Miss, Oregon, Pitt, South Carolina, Southern Miss, Stanford, TCU, Tennessee, Texas, Texas Tech, and Vanderbilt. Those are the 20 potential sites. As I said, four of those will not be will not be able to host. 16 of them will. I'm dead set right now, no matter what happens for Texas the rest of the way. They will be hosting a regional, and if they win that regional, my guess is they're going to be hosting a super. I think they've done enough to lock up top eight. I think TCU has as well. Yeah. I think Tech will host a regional and not host a super regional unless they're matched up with someone who got upset or upset someone.
They'll be one of the hottest tickets in town.
It really will.
Considering now the news that, you know, vaccinated folks can go maskless, and I think people are a little antsy. People want to get out. They want to start, you know, going back to some type of normalcy, especially when it comes to supporting their local teams. And Texas baseball has been really good this year, and there's been a clamoring by Texas baseball fans, you know,
right,
to open up UFCU, even though that's not all CDC's decision.
I mean,
like you said, NCAA will play a big role in that, and state and local ordinances and decisions also play a role in that, too.
I think we can safely say that CDC would be smart about it, but he would have opened this up beforehand, and at least a little bit more had it been just his call.
I think he would have.
Right.
Yeah.
This guy's a good businessman, yeah, and he also sees kind of what Longhorn Nation, and once again, I don't want to take everything off of Twitter on either side, but there does seem to be a consensus. Hey, let's open this up a little bit.
Yeah, no, I got to go figure out what the exact attendance was at TCU and what the actual capacity was allowed there, because people keep bringing that up.
You know, it'd be a good guy to ask who had a good bird's eye view of all that.
Craig Way. Maybe I'll text Craig when I can ask him.
Yeah, let's text Craig and see if we get an answer on that. Also, some stuff going on in Austin. You got Austin FC and LA Galaxy. Rod, you're going to be Saturday. You're going to be out at Moon Tower,
right? Moon Tower. Going to be out there hanging out. And it's going to be from about 2:30 to 4:30. Me, E. Hogan will be out there drinking plenty of Bud Light. So it'll be good friends at Bud Light will be out there. And the good people at Moon Tower have revamped some stuff. They've actually made it a little bit safer.
Have they really?
Yeah.
They're always working on that place.
Well, because I think during COVID, they decided since nobody's allowed to be here, let's upgrade, make some improvements. So I'm really excited to go see what improvements they've made. It was one of my favorite places to go prior to COVID.
We used to do shows there, and I loved it. When
it's
I say always
great.
Working on it, I felt like it was perfect. Yeah. But they would give little additions and like, we're going to try and make the experience a little bit
better.
So
it'll be fun.
But obviously, they're ready to go with that. All right, we'll preview that game, LA Galaxy and Austin FC. A little soccer talk coming up next year on the Horn.
Nice.
Triple option with RBKD. Got John Reichel in. BK is out today. Be back next week. Get a super glue the tux together for a wedding in Dallas this weekend. I'll continue to remind all of our listeners about that. John, what do you have here?
I got Funky Duck by Wolfpack.
I like this.
Funky Duck.
Rod, this has
it's a
more
funky
of an old
Friday is
funky.
What it is.
Yeah.
It's a functified Friday.
That's right, yeah, and this came out in the last 10 years or so, you know? They put funk away and put it on ice, and they unfreezed it when we need it the most.
It's like Ted Williams' head there.
Yeah, you know? It sounds like Ted Williams' head. A little bit more active than that. We'll continue to give you some funk and some good music here. Rod Babers, Kevin
Dunn. Is his head still frozen?
It is, yeah. I think it's still
it's
in the
cryogenics. What is it? Is it cryogenics?
That's it. Is?
And they just in some. Is it Arizona where they have it frozen?
I forgot where it was.
And they're just
you know
waiting to reanimate it whenever the technology catches up to it. Right? That's basically the theory.
That's basically it.
And the technology hasn't caught up yet. I hope I'm alive when the technology catches up.
I don't think it will.
So that they can reanimate Ted Williams' head. That is going to be amazing. It's going to happen, guys. They're already.
Someone's going to try it.
They're going to try
it. They're cloning animals and all kind of freaky stuff right now. It'll probably be Elon Musk. He'll probably buy it and do it here in Austin somewhere.
How are you going to do that, though?
I don't know.
Put his head on a body?
I don't know how to
sew it together.
I don't know how they clone stuff either. How are they cloning sheep and dogs?
I don't know.
How they cloning monkeys? But they do it?
Yes, but it's got to be easier than sewing a head back on and attaching everything.
It is.
I guarantee you. They are going to try to do it, but the first try ain't going to be pretty. I know that for a fact.
Yes, good point.
Real gross.
Here's the other thing.
It's safe to say Ted Williams won't be the first frozen head they try to reanimate. They're probably trying to do it right now, and you're right, it ain't going well.
It ain't
going to
be pretty.
Ted Williams is not going to want to be back here in the year 3000. I don't think he'd want to be back here in 2021.
Oh, no. He would. Ted Williams would hate 2021.
He would 2020.
He would hate it.
Put me back
the council,
in.
The council culture alone, he'd hate it.
He would just say, what the hell is going on? And I'm just, his son, I think, has some issues.
That's a great story, though, that people don't talk about
it. It's
enough.
A crazy story.
That we're just waiting to reanimate Ted Williams' head.
Yeah, and that his head is frozen somewhere.
It's just frozen.
I would love to know what city you drive by.
I think it's in Arizona somewhere. I believe it. Like, that cryogenics facility is there. That's what I read.
Got Sedona written all over it.
He got some bread, though. That's some major money. Because I'm sure it costs money to keep it frozen all that time.
I would think.
Yeah. All right. Anyway.
It takes money to keep eggs stored. Like a head frozen?
Frozen. And frozen in good shape so you can later reanimate it.
Right. And that's just stupid. That's just kind of FU money because you that's wouldn't FU spend money, that. Man. You know, that's just, you got a bunch of extra cash on hand.
Yeah.
It's if I come back.
Elon Musk might try that. He strikes me as a freeze me and thaw me out later kind of guy. Elon Musk is definitely that guy.
I'll be surprised if he doesn't have something like that. Like, if someone just says, he just wanted to be cremated.
He might go
he
early.
Said that was it.
He might decide, you know what, just freeze me while I'm still alive.
He's going to set one of those up on Mars.
He is going to colonize the stars. The now Central Texan, Elon Musk. Shout out. Okay, let's talk about something else that is Central Texas. And as the Austin FC, they have their fifth match of the season coming up versus the LA Galaxy.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, LA Galaxy are 3-1 at this point, too. LA Galaxy are playing some really, really good soccer. They have a superstar there in Javier Hernandez. I think they call him Chicharito.
Chicharito?
Chicharito.
Okay.
I think that's his nickname. And if I said something derogatory, I apologize. I did not. I don't even know what that means. But yeah, he's awesome. Like, he's the real deal. He scored 6 goals already this year.
Wow. That's got to be leading the league, right?
That is leading the league, I believe. Yes, he's the top goal scorer right now.
And this is a different team. So if you're just trying to get into this, certainly like I am, LAFC was that season opening loss.
And they've beaten LAFC already this year.
And the Galaxy have already beaten it.
Yes, they have. So, and that was like supposed to be one of the better teams in MLS.
Exactly. Yeah. So I hope Austin matches up better with LA Galaxy just in terms of style and personnel than they did LAFC because that was a mismatch.
Yeah.
It's the only mismatch we've seen.
In terms of lopsided talent advantage, I would say yes. Because they're supposed to, listen, they could have won the game the match. I'm trying to get my, I'm trying to say more match instead of game. I know you can say both, but.
The match.
I mean, they led for 75 minutes against Sporting KC. Alex Ring goes down, but he ends up going out of the match because he gets his second yellow card, ends up with a red card. He's going to be out.
Yes.
For this match versus the LA Galaxy. They played a man down for the last 30 minutes of that match, and pretty much that ended up being the story. They lose the game 2-1, or the match 2-1 to Sporting KC. So no Alex Ring in this match versus the LA Galaxy. He is their team captain. They have to find other solutions in the midfield. Sebastian Berhalter, I believe, is going to replace Alex Ring. That's what I read from my man Mike Craven at the Austin American Statesman. He's 20 years old. He's actually been, how about this? Josh Wolf has known him because he's on loan from the Columbus SC. And Josh Wolf was an assistant, I guess, with the Columbus SC back when they first mentor, if you will, Sebastian Berhalter, and they've known each other for like 10 years, 10, 12 years, wow, or something like that. So
he's familiar.
Yeah, so he's familiar with his skill set anyway, so
Wolf's
it won't be that much
job.
Of a transition.
You've talked about this, even during this with some of the subs. It feels like he's had a good feel for this team.
They've had 4 different starting lineups in their 4 matches to start the year, and it'll be 5.
It'll be 5
because Alex
now.
Ring is the team captain. He's going to be out. So
that's going to hurt.
It is going to hurt, but I think this is something that'll make them a better soccer team in the future. It'll make Josh Wolf a better coach in the future. He's learning this personnel really, really well. He's had to, right? Tomas Pochettino, mm-hmm, has missed some time. Remember Matt Basler had his child. He had a child born, yep, so he missed some time.
I argued against that. It was the third kid. Come on, Matt.
But still, remember Daniel Pereira missed some time because of injury. He actually may be coming back. We spoke to him earlier this week.
He's an impressive 20-year-old kid.
He is really impressive. And now you'll have, of course, and then John Gallagher. He actually started last week, and he had been a sub prior to that. Gave him some juice last week and got his first goal and got their first goal of that match in the seventh minute. So just with all these changes, and I don't think he's doing it because he's demoting a guy because he wants to, he believes that, you know, this player hasn't played up to a certain expectation or to a certain standard. I really truly believe matchup to matchup and then circumstance to circumstance, because some guys missed time because of injury, or Matt Beasley missed time because, you know, he wanted to be there for the birth of his child. He's had to really, really acclimate his coaching style and also really had to adjust the roster. I think he's done a really good job.
Yeah, I've been really impressed. I've been impressed overall. I wonder how much they're going to look back at the Sporting KC loss and think, man, we led that thing, and then we get a man down, and very quickly that thing turned.
If Alex Ring, if they lose this match versus LA Galaxy, and they easily could, LA Galaxy is a really good team, a lot of the blame will be thrown on Alex Ring getting himself thrown out of the Sporting KC match, because I'm with you. They could, if Alex Ring doesn't get thrown out, they win that match.
It felt like it.
Or at least it's a tie. It's, they don't lose the match,
they get
I should
a point
say.
Out of it.
Exactly. And he's available for this match, and it also gives them a better competitive chance in this match versus the LA Galaxy. So Alex Ring, and he's their team captain for good reason, and he's been fantastic up until that point where he got kicked out of the game. He showed us a lot of the responsibility. But I would say Austin FC has been really good when they've been a man down. The subs have stepped up and played really well. Remember Diego Fagundes?
Mm-hmm.
Initially, he was a sub that had to come in, and he ends up scoring their first goal. So they've had some success. I think it shows you how deep Austin FC may be in the end. They may end up being a deep team.
They're a lot deeper than I expected them to be. I just figured new team, like, are they going to have enough guys? And they've been pretty deep. Don't forget, tomorrow, that's 2:30, LA Galaxy in Austin. And get out to Moon Tower. E. Hogan and Rod will be out there. I'll be curious to get your take on it, because I have not been at a watching environment. I've watched all the games, but to actually have Austin FC fans out there, I bet you it'll be pretty fun.
I think it's going to be a real good time. And the Austin FC fans, I've heard, have been they're rowdy. They like to party.
That's what I've heard.
They like to get down. So I'm looking forward to hanging out with them and looking forward to seeing the upgrades that Moon Tower has made, too. So if you got some time, 2:30 to 4:30-ish, you got some time, get on out there. We'll be supporting the Austin FC versus the LA Galaxy. That would be a big win if Austin FC can get it. I mean, even a tie would be big versus LA Galaxy. They're 3-1. They got a new coach, but leading goal scorer, Javier Hernandez. So if they can neutralize him, they got a shot.
Yeah, no Alex Ring, too.
No Alex Ring.
We'll talk about that, obviously, on Monday. Get out to Moon Tower tomorrow to check that out. 1 hour down. We got 3 hours to go. We got Ian Boyd coming up at 5 o'clock for Flyover Football Inside Texas. We're going to talk some Texas football. But up next, we get back to the NFL. Take a look from Week 8 on. We talked about weeks 1 through 8 yesterday, some of the matchups that really stand out.